This is Dr. Jay Corsandi, and you're listening to The Best Night Ever, the show that's dedicated to helping you get your best night's sleep. Over the last 20 years of treating patients, I've worn many hats, including dentist, engineer, psychologist, artist, corporate executive, and more. I've found that the key to success, health, and longevity lies in sleep, and that's why I created this show. I want to teach you how to make sleep your best friend. Join me on a journey to uncover cutting-edge science, life-changing tips from renowned experts, ancient and modern sleep secrets, game-changing routines, and lifestyle hacks that will educate, inspire, and ultimately help you get the best night ever. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. And I want to throw a question out there for you is, how much thought do you give to the light that's in your environment and around you throughout the day, whether it's indoors, blue light, fluorescents, LEDs, the sun? Those are the kind of questions that we're going to talk about in the show today. And joining me to talk about those is the co-founder of a company called Seize Health, that's S-I-I-Z Health, and her name is Rose, and she is an expert when it comes to all things light related. We're going to talk about all things that have to do with light and not just the flipping of a switch in your room. We're going to talk about sunrises, sunsets, blue light, junk light, LED light, your health, your vision, contact lenses, prescription lenses, beach hacking, your kids, EMFs. I mean, there's so much that's packed into the show. I'm super excited to share it with you. Her company, Seize Health, makes the best blue light blocking glasses out there. I've got a couple pairs. They're on my website, sleepbiohacker.com. That's where you can find a link, or you can visit seizehealth.com, and that's straight to her website. Either way, I want you to do some research and some homework on blue light blocking glasses in your life and see if there's a way that you can optimize the way you expose your eyes, your brain, and your body to the light in your environment. This episode is sponsored by me, yours truly. And if you want to help me out, you can follow me on Instagram at sleepbiohacker. You can also check out my website, sleepbiohacker.com. That's where I have all these products and gadgets and the blue light blocking glasses that we're going to talk about in this show, with a link to seizehealth.com as well. So you can learn more about how those work and how they can help your life. And I really think you're going to enjoy the show and all of the detailed information that we cover. So without further ado, I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, we're recording and we are live. Rose, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I want to start off first by learning a little bit more about how you got fascinated with light and learning about how it affects our body. What got you into this?
Well, in my student years, I was very interested in well-being and improving my health. I studied psychology, and I was always interested in human behavior, but I wanted to learn more on how I can improve my health and my functioning every day. And so I was really into improving my diet and getting the best food that I can out there and exercising and taking care of my mental health, of course. And then me and my partner started getting into, you know, working on organic farms and being closer to nature. And that brought us closer to, you know, the way we felt when we woke up early in the morning with the sunrise and we slept in our tent for like weeks on end. And we just felt different in general. So camping and working on organic farms, being in contact with the earth and the sun outside more, that had really ignited the interest of learning about light and about how we can, you know, unfold more of the mysteries of health. And we started studying that and started experimenting with changing our own light environment. And that has really brought me closest to my health today.
Okay. So you mentioned, you know, connecting with nature, or, you know, farming, being out and camping in tents and things like that. And a lot of people these days are putting a lot of attention on better quality food sources. But I would also argue and say that the light that we're exposed to is equally, if not more important than the food that we eat. Can you tell me a little bit more about why that could be happening?
Yes, well, it's a very important question. As you said, most people in society are focusing on food. And as we know, through photosynthesis, the sun's light is stored in plants, which in return, they're eaten by animals and by us. So food carries an electromagnetic barcode or signature, if you want to say, of sunlight. And when we eat, our mitochondria, the little engines, reverse this process of photosynthesis by using oxygen to burn the food and produce our ATP, our energy, our water, our CO2. Now, as we're young, these engines work very well, and they have great ability to process all the food that we eat very efficiently. But as we grow older, these engines start to lose their efficiency. And Dr. Wallace from Washington, he won the Nobel Prize in bringing a new understanding of why these little engines lose their efficiency. And he discovered that most of our modern diseases are actually mitochondrial in nature. So he explains that mitochondria is electromagnetic in nature, which means that the way it processes food and makes energy is actually controlled by light from sunlight and magnetism from the earth. And that explains why focusing on diet alone for health is like focusing on the gas to fix the car with a broken engine. So don't get me wrong, the fuel is very, very important, yet we need to have a healthy, strong engine. And in other words, in order to reverse disease and digest our food better and absorb vitamins and minerals, we need to have a healthy, light diet, which will keep our engine healthy and strong. Also, we have another Hungarian scientist. He won the other Nobel Prize by discovering how deeply light affects us. And he discovered that actually many enzymes and hormones involved in processing food are stimulated and activated by sunlight. So according to the study, we have certain bodily enzymes. Some of them become more than 500% more efficient when stimulated by sunlight. And today, most of us don't get enough sunlight and we get too much artificial light. So getting exposed to junk light at night especially decreases leptin, which is the hormone that signals to our body that it's full, and increases our metabolism at night. And as well as this, increases ghrelin, which tells our body that we're hungry, and it slows down the burning mechanism and invokes impulsive eating and craving sugar and all that. And that makes it really hard to lose weight and to maintain our healthy weight. So a light diet is foundational before food diet.
Okay. I like the term light diet. And we're not talking about light eating like fat-free foods and things like that. It's actual light, like the light outside. Speaking of light, and you mentioned a few things like, you know, junk light, artificial light, sunlight. A lot of people just think light is light. It's brightness that so you could see, but there's a big difference. Okay. Can you kind of explain the difference between these different sources of light?
Yeah, so when we think of sunlight, the sunlight is composed of a wide range of electromagnetic frequencies. So about 8% of sunlight is actually ultraviolet A and B, and around 42% of it is visible light, which means it's ranging from blue light with the highest frequency to red light with the lowest frequency. And around 50% of sunlight is infrared light in the form of heat. So when we first see UVA light around 9 a.m. in the morning, of course, depending on where we live, on the latitude and the season, this frequency recalibrates our circadian clock, aligning our body with the environment and triggering sharpness and alertness. And then UVB, which has been demonized in our society, we'll talk about it after, it's the main catalyst for the synthesis of vitamin D and calcium and other minerals in the body. So it's a shame, honestly, that more than 75% of the population is actually suffering from low vitamin D status. So because of the way we live, because of the sunglasses that we wear outside and the way we cover light and we don't get exposed to it. So coming back to how light is composed, so visible light is from sunlight is like violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red, and it triggers different psychophysiological functions in our bodies and our minds, affecting our mood, our breathing, blood pressure, and our pulse. And being deficient on those lights, only being exposed to artificial light, which is only composed of high-frequency blue light, which is the same frequency that is in the mid-afternoon sun, makes us deficient on the rest of the frequencies. And especially if we see this light during the night when this light is not found in nature, this has very detrimental effects on our health. Okay. So I hope that made it clear in terms of light.
Yeah, I mean, the best way I've learned about light and I've become much more fascinated with light, I guess you could say lately, is within the visible spectrum, you think of like a rainbow, right? We have the kind of the blue greens to the red, you know, Roy G. Biv, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, something like that. And the bluish green colors are going to be in a nanometer wavelength of like the 400s, right? And then I think it goes up to about the 700s for the kind of upper end of the red, and then you're getting into infrared, and then you have ultraviolet on the lower end below 400. So for me, as a general rule of thumb, obviously you have ultraviolet, then you've got the colors, and then you've got infrared. And like you said, infrared can be a very healing wavelength, and ultraviolet can be a very, you know, stimulating, energizing, potentially harmful wavelength. So that's kind of how I look at things. Does that make sense?
Yes, actually, if we only see high frequency light, then we're only see the degenerative light in nature. And nature hasn't designed light in that way. It designed high frequency light balance with infrared, which is regenerative. So it's important to keep that in mind and to understand that nature didn't design anything that is harmful if we know how to be exposed to light frequency. So if we warm up our skin before we actually get exposed to UVA and UVB by being in the sunlight early in the morning during the sunrise and in the evening during the sunset, we actually get a lot of infrared. And that makes our skin make melanin, which is the pigment that gives us color and helps the skin not get burnt. So yeah, that's important to keep in mind.
So we're talking about humans and the connection with nature. What's happened to relationship between humans and light over time as things have changed?
Well, of course, you know, since we have gained the power to light up our world 24 hours, if we wish, we have started seeing more and more of the detrimental effects of not respecting light and darkness cycles in nature in our bodies. So we're starting to see what is called circadian rhythm mismatch, which is, it ruins our sleep and wake cycles. So for some of the listeners who are not familiar with circadian rhythm, it's actually our biological clock. And it's located in the hypothalamus in our brain, and it's responsible for basically orchestrating neurotransmitters and hormones throughout the 24-hour cycle. So our circadian rhythm is what really regulates our sleep cycle, our wake cycle, physical activity, digestion, nutrition, everything. And now to understand this, we'll need to understand the relationship between light, the eyes, the hypothalamus in the brain, the autonomic nervous system, and the endocrine system. So there was a study done in the 1970s when science first acknowledged that light entering the eyes was not only for the purpose of vision, but it was actually understood as being captured by photoreceptors in the eye, which are transformed into these tiny electrical signals traveling to the hypothalamus in the brain and controlling the body's autonomic nervous system. And this regulates all the internal functions in our body. It maintains and restores the balance through the two major subsystems that we have, so the parasympathetic and the sympathetic mode. And our homeostasis, our balance, depends on this relationship between these two subsystems. So the information received by the hypothalamus is also used to control all the secretions that are done in our pineal gland and pituitary gland. So that affects our body's major regulatory system, the endocrine system, which regulates our metabolism and the way we process food, coming back to food diet. Now, our pineal gland, being part of the endocrine system, is basically our light meter. That's how we can think of it. So it receives light-activated information from the eyes through our biological clock in the hypothalamus, and then it transmits information to the body about the environment in relationship, for example, to the length of the day, to whether it's light or dark outside, to the seasons, depending on the year. And it is this light information that we receive from our eyes that signals to our biological clock what to secrete, whether to make melatonin or cortisol, the sleep hormone or the stress hormone or all the other hormones. So by messing up with that, by not spending enough time outside during the day and having very bright nights, which is not designed in nature, we're really messing up with the circadian rhythm and creating a circadian rhythm mismatch. So this means that our bodies are continuously receiving light information that's different from the natural light outside. And that's destroying our sleep-wake cycles and contributing to chronic diseases. So
So how do we fix this problem? I guess that's the big question, right?
Yes, for sure. So first, we need to really respect the evolution of the rhythm that we have and the evolution of light and dark cycles. So by spending more time outside during the day, of course, you know, with our lifestyle, working in offices and working indoors most of the day, it's not that easy. So there are different solutions. And that's why I have created with my partners, our company Seas Health, which is very, very much interested in helping people come back to the cycle that we're talking about. So we help people sleep better and function better by connecting their modern lifestyle with how we've evolved. So for example, how can we work more efficiently, even if we're working in front of screens all day and being exposed to this deficient light? Well, first of all, you can start being aware that you're deficient on full spectrum light, on the sunlight, the other lights that we talked about, and going outside more often. So taking sun breaks, going outside every 1 hour for 5 to 10 minutes. And also when you're in front of the screen, blocking some of this high intensity blue light that we don't find in nature in separation from the other lights. So we have our glasses, our lens technologies, our Daygos, they're called, and those are meant to block 60% of that high frequency light, which is only, it's what you need to stay stimulated and alert, because we need that blue light during the day, but we don't need that much blue light.
And the blue light we need is for cortisol production, right?
Yes, for cortisol production, for just staying in rhythm with
focusing, and training, right? And
focus. For eating, for being active. But we need the other lights in addition to it. So yeah, lots of other solutions, obviously, for the evening and nighttime.
So lots of light exposure. It's funny you said going out for sun breaks, because, you know, 20 years ago when I was entering the work environment, people would go outside for a smoke break.
Exactly.
So if you just substitute smoke for sun, maybe you have something that's healthy versus obviously a bad habit.
Exactly. And even better, step on the ground barefoot if you can. So that's what I do. I go outside, step on the grass, get some light in my eyes, and you get the electrons from the earth and you're getting the photons from the sun. So it's like a battery for your mitochondria, the little engines that we talked about. And that's how we make sure we keep our mitochondria efficient. So
a lot of people, including myself, have always talked to people and said, one of the best practices you can do, and you mentioned this, is getting up in the morning and catching a sunrise. It's going to have two effects, right? One is going to be the circadian entrainment and the melatonin production. The other is going to be the melanin. Can you explain a little bit about how, if you get a sunrise in the morning, you're protecting yourself against sunburn later in the day?
Yes, for sure. So when we go outside before UVA starts and UVB later on, we're actually making sure that we prepare our body. It's as if you're, when you're cooking a meal and you don't blast the heat like too high in the beginning, because you'll burn the meal, you do it slowly. So same thing with our skin. You expose your body to infrared light, which in return prepares the body, prepares the tissue to be able to absorb UVA later on without being burned, and then to absorb UVB in order to make vitamin D. If we go outside at noon or 1 o'clock, and we get a sunburn because we're never exposed to the lower frequency lights, then we actually don't make any vitamin D and we burn ourselves. So we, yes, that's how we cause skin damage. And then we also don't make any of the nutrients that the sun could give us. And especially the perfect recipe to get burned is if you wear sunglasses or sunscreen. So this is completely blocking the pathway that we've talked about through the eyes, hypothalamus, pineal gland, to allow your brain to know what time of the day it is. So you block your eyes with the sunglasses and then you get burned because your body doesn't understand what time of the day it is. That's number one. And number two, that's how I used to be 5 years ago. It's like so sensitive to the light. I can't not wear sunglasses and I can't not wear sunscreen, I think, because I'm getting burned. And that's because I was purple light deficient. My retinas were purple light deficient. I was never getting purple light from the sun.
Explain that. What does that mean, purple light deficient? I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, well, when we're always inside and we're always being exposed to blue and green light, only mainly blue from LED lights, we don't get any purple light. And purple light is really important in order to be able to make vitamin D and to absorb all the nutrients. So pretty much everybody is purple light deficient unless you spend time outside without sunglasses. Even if you're sitting indoors, open the window. When you open the window, you allow that light in because most glass windows actually block UVB. So then you don't make any vitamin D. It's interesting because, you know, UVB has been demonized in our society, and that goes back, it dates back to around 1981. There was a study conducted in Virginia on monkeys, and it concluded that UV light causes retinal damage, so like in the eyes. The results of the study actually is highly questionable because of the condition that the study was done in. So the monkeys' eyelids were fully open with lid clamps, and they were bombarded by an abnormal exposure to UV light that could never happen in nature in real life, because UV was the only light frequency basically penetrating their retinas, which is not representative of nature. We always have UV light with red light in nature. So UV and blue light is the high frequency light, and that causes degeneration, as we said. But however, red and infrared, which is a very big portion of sunlight, more than 50%, is regenerative. And together they make the perfect balance. So if you put your hand in a furnace, it's going to get burnt, but this doesn't mean you avoid heat altogether, right? You don't keep your house freezing. So we need to understand that light is a nutrient, like vitamins and minerals, and trace amounts of UV light is very important for our health. It actually lowers blood pressure, reduces cortisol and cholesterol, and assists in weight loss, and increases, you know, our level of sex hormones. So it's important to know how to biohack light in early mornings and evenings.
Okay, so let's talk about a scenario here. If I wanted to get sunburn, what I would do is avoid the sunrise, stay in until high noon, and then go outside, put on a bunch of sunblock, and wear sunglasses. Does that sound right?
Go to the beach. Naked body with sunglasses, and you're basically like, yeah, setting yourself up for red skin.
So let's say the reverse. Let's say we want to be smart about this. So the best way, let's say I want to go, it's the summer months are coming up now. I want to go to the beach for the day. What can I do to have a successful day and a healthy day with light control?
Okay, so this is what we do. You need to basically train your body every single day to understand light. So if you've been indoors for years and you're not really in rhythm with the light outside, even when you go to the beach, then you're going to get burned. So what we want to do is we want to that day go outside early in the morning before approximately like 9 a.m. and, you know, sit outside, drink your morning drink, do what you do, exercise outside, meditate, get that light in your eyes. And after that, you go to the beach and you get exposed to UVA after 9 o'clock, and then UVB at around 12 and 1. Don't stay in the sun for too long if it's your first time. So come back in the afternoon, and then let's say the sun is setting at around 8:30, now around the summer season, spring, summer. So at around 6, when you see your silhouette, your shadow is getting longer than you, then you know it's a lot of infrared right now. So be outside in the sun in the evening, spend time in the light, and regenerate those tissues. So allow the body to get this balance and do the same thing every day. I used to get like extremely sunburned if I don't put sunscreen. And even with sunscreen, it's like you need to keep reapplying and it's cancerous. So now nothing. My body makes melanin. I'm aligned with the sunrise and the sunset. And this is speaking from personal experience, and it works. This is how I hacked the sunlight.
Yeah, I guess a good analogy would be like if you haven't worked out in a long time, don't go to the gym and do the hardest workout you've ever done. It's the same thing with the sun. I've heard a good term. It's called building up a sun callus. I don't know if you've heard of that term. But
yeah,
like you said,
exactly. That makes sense.
I guess if you're going to go to the beach, prepare for it ahead of time with, you know, and think of the sun as vitamin S, all right? It's a vitamin, it's a sun exposure, and you dose yourself up. Same thing with me. Like you said, I used to be very scared of the sun, and I would burn a little bit easier. I'm Middle Eastern. I'm a little bit darker, so I can handle a little bit more sun, but I would still avoid it as much as possible until I started hacking it more. And now I can be out in the sun for a pretty long time, no issues. I also take, you know, supplements and things. I take astaxanthin, which has been also great for people listening. If you want to stay out in the sun longer, that'll help reduce the inflammatory issues as well. But it's about learning how to control your exposure, and then you'll get better benefits and the results.
Exactly. And it's very important to mention to remove, other than sunglasses, remove prescription glasses. So remove prescription glasses, contacts, all those things if you're out and you want to get actually make vitamin D and not get burnt, because that blocks the light.
So let's say someone wears prescription glasses or contacts. How are they supposed to see while they're trying to get better sun?
Well, I mean, there's always the middle way, right? So if you're driving to the beach, keep your prescriptions on, obviously. But when you're sitting on the beach, start training your eyes a little bit to make some effort to see without them, because prescription just makes you more and more dependent, and it always gets worse. So training your eyes. So the first point is, in order to be able to get light in your eyes, you need to remove the prescription glasses. So removing those on the beach is one way. And if you need to see, you're reading or something, put them on. But just the awareness that when you remove them, you get light in your eyes. And same thing for contacts. But then, of course, I was going to say that the second point is, being able to train the eyes to see better. So this, again, goes hand in hand with the blue light exposure. So if you're always in front of a laptop or working under LED lights, you're probably having what we call computer vision syndrome. So eye fatigue, sore eyes, migraine, headaches, and that contributes to retinal damage. So that makes your sight worse. So if you where the day goes by blocking some of the blue light and going getting sun breaks, your sight should get better. Yeah. And not only that, but we need to understand that all of our organs have clocks. So we don't only have the master clock in our brain. Our liver has a clock, the lungs, the heart, everything has a clock. And alternative medicine has known this. I like to call it original medicine, has known this for thousands of years. And if we make the connection between, let's say, the liver, we know that the liver's sense organ is the eyes. And if the liver is always getting the wrong light signal during the day, so the liver is supposed to rest at night, and we're being so bombarded by artificial light at night that we're not sleeping well, so then the liver is not resting, and all the organs' clocks are messed up. That will affect our sight. That will affect the way we hear. That will affect all our senses. So it's all, we're a wholesome being. We don't function in isolation. That's important to mention.
Yeah, I didn't expect this to become a beach hacking podcast, but that's okay. I love the beach. I think it's a fantastic place, obviously, to get the sun, to get the negative ions, to get the grounding. It's all a good thing. And it's funny, I grew up by the beach, but I would never go as a young kid, again, mm-hmm. just because I didn't want to be on the sun and the exposure. But now I've learned how to, quote unquote, hack that to be much stronger. It's an interesting point you said about the vision is, I don't wear any glasses or contacts, but from what I understand, it's a vicious cycle, because if you start wearing them, it's almost like a handicap on your vision. And as your vision continues to deteriorate, you get stronger and stronger prescriptions to the point where, you know, you have no other choice. But if you're saying, you know, careful dosing and exposure, you can start to potentially heal and improve. And then, like my wife, where I'm actually, we're working on getting her prescription lower and lower each time, to the point where hopefully we can get her back to minimal levels or nothing is the goal. So I do like the vision hacking stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So we didn't talk much about the nighttime routine, but like I said, you know, most people come back home and they're exposed to the more artificial light, their TV, their iPads, the different things. Like, we moved from seeing the stars, the moon, being outside in very dim lights, like the fire and things like that, to the high frequency stimulating lights at night. And that suppresses our melatonin and keeps our cortisol elevated. And this has a huge effect on all the clocks in our body, for sure.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the stress response and cortisol. So why do we need to be concerned about that?
Well, cortisol is secreted by the adrenal glands, so at the top of the kidneys. And of course, we make cortisol, the stress hormone, in response to any perceived stress. So we're hardwired in nature to a very specific rhythm of cortisol. So it needs to be high in the morning and low in the evening. You can think of it as the cycle of the sun: high in the morning, low in the evening. So biochemically, cortisol travels to our liver to make blood sugar for fuel. So it's an anti-inflammatory. It's very important for survival. And it is light. You can think of it as time limited. So as it increases when we perceive a stressor, and then it needs to go down after. That's how it's been wired in nature. Of course, today it has changed. Today we have chronic cortisol and very subtle. So from things that stress us out. And it's not like we're being chased by a tiger anymore, where we have a spike of cortisol and then it goes down. So cortisol basically serves as our catabolic state. So it wears and tears survival. And by the end of the day, just like the sun is setting, our cortisol needs to go down to allow us to sleep. But we have completely changed cortisol from an acute hormone to a chronic hormone as we disconnected from the cycles of the sun. And it's important to understand that catabolic hormones need to be active during the day and anabolic at night. So anabolic is the growth hormone, healing, rejuvenating, repairing. And catabolic is for energy and for activity. So the hormone balance is dictated basically by anabolic and catabolic processes. So the sun rises and cortisol peaks at around 6 a.m., we can say on average across the seasons. And the lowest point of cortisol needs to be around 10 p.m. So not only that, but testosterone, melatonin, and growth hormone, they take off, as well as anabolic hormones in the evening. So the most critical time for melatonin secretion, you've probably heard that before, it's between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. as it's pumping the growth hormone from the pituitary gland in the absence of cortisol. But that has shifted for most people. And the reason for that is because it takes melatonin about 12 hours to reset. So what resets melatonin is the first sunlight exposure in the morning. And most of us don't go outside and see the sun first thing in the morning. We go on our phone. So if you're getting the first sunlight at like 10 a.m., then your melatonin is going to start resetting if you don't get exposed to artificial light at around 10 p.m. And you wouldn't be sleepy before 12. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. It's interesting because, yeah, you said, you know, exposure to blue light induces more cortisol release, which will then suppress the melatonin as well. The other issue I've seen with blue light exposure and cell phones is dopamine. We're getting burnt out on the dopamine response because we're sitting there looking at all these Instagram and Facebook posts and
fake dopamine. I like the
fake dopamine. Yeah, it's not the good kind, which is unfortunate, but that's also been a big problem as well, too.
Yes, for sure. Dopamine, serotonin, very, very important to have them balanced for melatonin later on. So when we see the sunlight first thing in the morning, adding to that, we make serotonin. And serotonin is a precursor to melatonin. So if we make serotonin, we'll make melatonin later. And that's why if you spent all day on the beach, you usually get sleepier like earlier, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're suppressing that with coming back home and doing the things that we do, then we basically lose the benefits from spending the day on the beach. And same thing with dopamine. You know, most people have dopamine imbalances and lithium imbalances. Lithium is another, you know, neurotransmitter, so which is very high in sunrises and sunsets. And actually pharmaceuticals use it in antidepressant when we can just get it from the sun if we see the sun often enough. So same thing with dopamine. It's fake dopamine because it's related to instant gratification and to wearing off pretty quickly and not being wired just like how nature wired it in our system. So
we're talking a lot about light exposure and the benefits. Let's say you live somewhere where you don't get as much light, like Scandinavia or something like that. And another problem associated with that could be what's called, you know, SAD or seasonal affective disorder. So what can people do when faced with those kind of problems where they can't get as much sunlight?
We have a few tools for that. So first thing is really important to be more in touch with fire. So fire is basically the sun in the winter. This is the element, right? So if we're missing on the sun during winter, we can access a lot of the red and infrared and fire. And that's very good for dopamine and serotonin and for regenerating. It's kind of like red light therapy, which is becoming more important.
I was going to say, that's the new version of fire is red light therapy.
Exactly. So fire obviously would be my preferred version of that. No, less EMFs and just the aliveness of it. And so that's one. Number two is, again, being aware of the artificial light during the day that we're being exposed to from screens and LEDs and fluorescence. So mitigating the effects of that by wearing lens technology that blocks some of it. And it actually, it's been shown also that when you wear these yellow tinted glasses, it kind of, the brain doesn't really know the difference between the sun and the lenses. It just perceives that color and it naturally increases dopamine. So that's another good thing for SAD, for seasonal affective disorder. And another thing that I use, we're living in Canada and sometimes it's not as sunny in the winter, in the mountains especially. So we use infrared bulbs. So we talked about that, the red light therapy. And we use that mainly in the morning and in the evening. And we use full spectrum bulbs as well. So you can get full spectrum bulbs instead of the deficient lights, deficient bulbs. So
like incandescent bulbs, or are you talking about like UV?
Like full spectrum. So you can check out Vitalite bulbs, and they have all the lights in them. Yeah. So it's not only UV or only incandescent. It's like a full spectrum. And those have been used before for a long time to conserve energy, basically. We switched to LEDs, but that, yeah, we're taking that energy from our health. So those are a few tools for that. And of course, at night, this is a huge factor that contributes to imbalances in hormones, which is serotonin and melatonin, and dopamine, is how you go on with your nighttime routine. So being able to block artificial light in the evening. So we have our lens technologies, our EVEs, they're called, and those are for evening time. So they block all blue light. So they block up to 520 nanometers. That means that they leave some green light to enter. And those are perfect for winter nights. So for those countries, especially when the sun sets very early or doesn't rise at all, and you don't want to be exposed to any more artificial light, so you wear them, and then you transition to our nighttime glasses, our red ones, which block all high-frequency blue and green, and those are perfect for melatonin secretion. So they help those people secrete melatonin. They help everybody. I wear those, and it's very important to wear them when we live in the world we live in, to be able to live in the world and at the same time not get all the harmful effects of light.
Okay, so. So my practice, I'm sitting here today by the window. I know you mentioned, like, if you work in an office and you have no windows, is that worse than if you're sitting by a window, even though the window is filtering out some of the spectrums or some of the wavelengths?
Well, I mean, it would be like if you're sitting by a window and it's filtering out UVB, but you're getting the UVA, if you're only getting that all the time, yes, it could be damaging because, again, you're not getting the full spectrum. So going outside, being even more aware of that, going outside for sun breaks is very important, and filtering some of this light that you're seeing in your office, and hopefully fighting to be close to some source of natural light in your office. It's really worth it for your health as an investment for later.
Yeah, we had LED lights put in the office, in my office here, but I don't turn them on in my own personal office just because I get plenty of light through the window. So that's better switching those on. Mm-hmm. Another thing I noticed too is I face the parking lot in my building here, and there's pediatric offices here. So a lot of kids coming through and they come out of their cars. A lot of the parents will give the child iPads and electronics. I want to talk about light in kids because I have young kids as well. What should people who are listening who have kids be paying attention to in terms of their children and their eyes and their health and the light?
Mm-hmm. So we understand now how light affects us as adults. So you can say it's the same thing times 1,000 for kids. So kids are vulnerable. They're in delicate stages of development, and it's very important that they get exposed to full spectrum light during the day and less light at night. So putting them to sleep naturally by eliminating all high frequency light is very, very effective. Not only that, but there are a few studies that I would like to talk about. So the first one is a study run by Dr. Ott, which he's a light expert basically, and he wanted to investigate the psychological and physiological effects of light on children in the classrooms, so in their schools. And he found that kids under unbalanced fluorescent lights demonstrated hyperactivity, fatigue, irritability, attention deficit, and lots of problems like high blood pressure and all the things that we hear about with behavioral problems with kids today, and especially ADHD. It's a very popular one. And he found that when they were under full spectrum light, so like the sun, indoors, the kids calmed down, they showed academic improvements, and they actually recorded more balanced blood pressure. So this study demonstrated that children exposed to full spectrum light developed even 1/3 of the number of cavities. So dental health, it's all related. And they developed only 1/3 of the cavities compared to the children under junk light. Call it junk light because it's deficient light, basically. So healthy versus junk light. And then there was another study by Dr. Fritz Hallwitsch, which he compared, again, the effects of sitting under strong artificial, cool, white, non-full spectrum lights versus full spectrum. And he wanted to see the changes in the endocrine system that we talked about earlier to evaluate these effects. So he found that stress-like levels of basically hormone cortisol and ACTH in the individuals sitting under sunlight-stimulating bulbs was significantly lower than the people sitting under unbalanced light. So the significance of this is it becomes more and more clear when the functions of ACTH and cortisol are examined. So both these metabolic hormones actually play a major role in functioning, and they're very much related to stress response. So since their activity increases under stress, and since both of these hormones also function as growth inhibitors, this is very much persistent when kids are exposed to these lights. So their growth is compromised, their cognitive functioning, their development, all the yeah. things that they need to focus on. And yeah, his findings clarified the observation of Dr. Arts, and they really made it clear why we see agitated behavior and fatigue and reduced mental capabilities and all that. So, and that makes sense because cool white fluorescent lamps are deficient in red and blue violet ends of the spectrum. So this explains why color therapists have used a combination of colors like red and blue violet as emotional stabilizers. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that has been used historically, basically. But wow. not anymore, except for people who are coming more and more conscious of it.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I mean, obviously I was trained as a dentist, so I'm always intrigued about dental and oral healthcare. And for people listening, you know, this study is telling you that kids who are exposed to non-native junk artificial light are more prone to dental decay, which blew me away. But, you know, obviously the light isn't causing the cavities to show up in the teeth, but I think it's contributing to the lifestyle of the kids and the parents to make poor choices, resulting in poor oral health. I think I told you a story. My kids go to a Waldorf school by Rudolf Steiner. And
it's amazing. Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, they put me in charge of class purification, if you want to call it. And one of the first things I did was actually on day one, my kids' rooms had compact fluorescent bulbs, mm-hmm. those little swirly kinds that you screw in the classes. And I bought incandescent bulbs and I went through all the rooms in my kids' rooms and switched those bulbs out. And one of the first things the teacher said was, oh my God, what a huge difference in the energy and the mood of the room. And then on top of that, we went and got air filters for filtration. And then I also got EMF blocking devices, dirty electricity mm-hmm. filters, which we can talk about a little bit about as well too, which would be actually a good segue. So let's talk about some more ways to mitigate, because you know, EMFs are also light. It's just a more damaging frequency. Invisible. So yeah, it's invisible. So you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yes, for sure. In terms of EMFs and all those things, of course, like EMFs are another form of light, invisible light, and light suppresses melatonin, so the sleep hormone. So if you have your Wi-Fi on at night and blasting that 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, especially right now, it's becoming more popular, you're going to have more issues later on with sleep. And you know, our body adapts, but eventually it will catch up on the stress, whether it manifests itself in joint pain or moods, you know, moodiness and instability in different ways, it will catch on that. So turning off the Wi-Fi is another way to hack your health at night, especially putting your phone on airplane mode, being aware of your environment. And if you can ground yourself while working with a grounding rod or a pad or something like that, I ground myself at night. I connect a metal rod to the ground, and I'm lucky that I don't have too much Wi-Fi around me from neighbors, so it doesn't act like an antenna. So grounding yourself, really good for neutralizing the energy and of course getting all the electrons, increasing your redox potential. So yeah, that's very important for kids.
Yeah, that's a good hack. I mean, I have my Wi-Fi router on a timer at home. It shuts off about 9:30, something like that. So that's also a good, I use that almost as a reverse alarm clock, because what happens is as soon as the Wi-Fi goes off on my phone, it changes from Wi-Fi to data, and I'm not on an unlimited plan. So all of a sudden I'm burning through data. I'm like, okay, that's enough. Time to put the phone down and everyone go to sleep. And I notice my kids sleep a lot better. We all sleep on grounding sheets as well too. So, and I actually had a smart meter on my house. So that was one of the first things when I moved in, I had the city come on, they switched it back to an analog one, which was amazing. Which was nice. So yes.
Yeah, being able to do these things in the evening is very important, like taking time to, you know, do different things to unwind, like meditate, contemplate, journal, play music, all those things, in addition to, you know, the first thing from the environment that stimulates us is light or puts us to sleep. But other things play a huge role in our hormones. So
you mean I shouldn't take my iPad, put it on my chest next to the Wi-Fi router by the microwave and play on that all night?
Unless you want to microwave your brain.
You know? So I know we talked about lifestyle choices and this kind of vicious loop of poor control and being unaware of your environment and your light exposure. I want you to kind of expand a little bit on what happens if we continue to go down this road of not paying attention to these signs and signals and just kind of being, I don't want to say ignorant, but being ignorant.
Yeah, like constantly stressed, basically, in mismatch with the rhythm, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's ignorance. Nobody wants to suffer and struggle with their health. So it comes from lack of knowledge about why these things are happening. And it's important to understand that our brain actually does not really make a difference between real and perceived stress. And, you know, there are studies done to see brain images, what's happening, the activation in the brain of, there's one that shows how people playing basketball, let's say, and people imagining to play basketball over certain few weeks, you can say, they see similar neural activation in their brain. And why is that? Because the power of thinking and the power of imagining things is very similar to actually doing it. Our brain doesn't really distinguish the difference. So, and that comes from when we think of things that are always worrying us and always stressing us, it's like our brain is constantly living those. And that happens much easier if we're always putting our body in stress, which is relating back to light again. So this loop of if our light is always making us stressed, and that's affecting our hormones and the way we feel, the way we think, the way we behave, our thoughts follow up with that and our actions follow up with that. So let's understand a little bit about how stress works. So in the midbrain, we have what we call the reticular activated system, which actually perceives stress, and then it sends a signal to the locus coeruleus, which is the nucleus in the pons of the brain stem involved with physiological responses to stress and panic. And this is part of the reticular activating system. So after that, this gets released to the hypothalamus again, then to the pituitary gland, and then to the adrenal gland, where finally cortisol is released. So when this locus coeruleus is fired, it also releases norepinephrine in the brain. And this cortisol and norepinephrine are like partners in crime. So most people are constantly being stimulated by these two hormones. But going back to how we're hardwired to the cortisol rhythm in nature, so it being high in the morning and low at night, this gets mixed up and messed up when our light is not the same as the light in nature. So humans are super adapters. We can adapt to any stressors, and this shows evidence in our reality. But the dependency that we've created on the digital world, so all our technological advancements, that's disconnecting us from the sun. And don't get me wrong, technology is not all bad. This is why we're, you know, talking here to deliver many messages. But when we combine disconnecting from nature and always being on our electrons, that's when the problem begins. So we're not spending enough time outside and always stimulating our brain with technology, especially at night. We're constantly telling our brain that, oh, you're supposed to be awake. So put some cortisol on. And since we're adapters, we can adapt to this, of course, but at some point we're going to crash if we continue to compromise the way we function. So a lot of disease manifestation is stemming from this process. So we tolerate high cortisol at night for decades. And one of the ways to know that is through saliva. So we have certain ways to test cortisol through the saliva. And we know that it should be around 1 at night. But most people test around 5, 8, 10 because of the lifestyle. So there's evidence that shows that our cortisol is being too elevated at night. And this elevated cortisol blunts the anabolic hormones, which we talked about earlier, the growth hormone, testosterone, and melatonin. And as a result of this, we don't sleep well because of low testosterone and melatonin. So we lose efficiency in everything we do. And that's how we start seeing, you know, people are taking so long to recover from workouts. joints are hurting, moodiness, and all the following. So as we sleep more poorly, and this takes a toll on our morning cortisol. So again, taking a test for cortisol in the morning, you know, it should be between 14 and 18. And oftentimes it's like at 8 to 10. And this is too low for the morning. And that's because we're taking from this reserve of cortisol in the morning and we're having elevated cortisol at night. So if you wake up in the morning and you struggle to have momentum to get going, you need coffee, you need something to stimulate you basically, you feel sluggish, that's low cortisol in the morning. And that leads people to reach out to stimulants multiple times of the day even. And it's a vicious cycle, you know, because of this chronic cortisol at night, we can't keep up with the cycle and we deplete the cortisol reserve that we need in the morning. So we adapt to this, but disease starts eventually. But the good news is that it's reversible. So as long as we learn how to balance our sympathetic and parasympathetic modes with the different tools that we have and the different light input, we can reverse this for sure.
Okay, so speaking of tools, and we've touched upon this a little bit in throughout the show, your company is called Seize Health, right? S-I-I-Z. Yeah. And your focus is on blue light blocking mitigation. So, and you've got different colors. I guess for people listening who are wondering what blue light blocking glasses are, can you just kind of break it down into the three categories that you have and you offer and what they do?
Yeah, so we have different lens technologies, basically. So the first ones are the Daygos that we talked about earlier. They're for daytime use, and they block around 60% of the deficient blue light. And that's enough to help you stay focused because you need blue light. We get blue light from the sun in the day, so it's important to have blue light, but we need to eliminate some of it. And that helps with seasonal affective disorder and helps with computer vision syndrome. So all the headaches, migraines, and eye fatigue. And
so these would be ones that people would wear through more in the daytime if they're indoors on a computer screen.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And you know, in the mall, or going shopping, not wear them outside.
The Target and the CVS and the Walmart. Oh my God, I've gone to those at night and it's like...
It's like mid-afternoon sun.
It's insane. It's so intense. Actually, there's apps on your phone that will tell you how much lux of light is coming in. And it's like off the charts. It's like 10,000. It's crazy, crazy stuff. So yeah. Okay. So
yeah, shift workers struggle the most with that. We know that shift workers have the highest rate of cancers and, you know, dying at a younger age. And that's because of circadian rhythm mismatch. It's like they're living their whole year not matching with their circadian rhythm. And there are ways, you know, with the glasses, with the lenses, they can actually wear the day goes and be able to block some of that light with going outside.
Yep. Okay. So, yep. and then the other ones are the orange colored ones, which are the...
Yeah. So we have our Eves, and our Eves are for evening time, and they are perfect when you still want to work. So they block up to 520 nanometers, which means that they block all blue, but not all of the green. Green is the other high frequency light. And that allows people to, you know, if they want to do some work in the evening, watch a movie, go out, it's good for that. I don't wear them in this season only because the sun sets at like 8:45 and I want to sleep by 10:30 max. So I wear the next glasses, which block all high frequency light. So the Eves are more for, I would say, winter nights. When the sun sets at like 4:30, you wear them before the sleepers. And the sleepers are red lenses that block all high frequency light. And within 2 to 3 hours, you should be making enough melatonin to go to sleep. We've helped tons of people with even severe insomnia. And yeah, you know, all our frames are eco-friendly. We have FSC certified wood, so we don't work with mass production and plastic frames because if we want to come back to nature, we want to respect nature. So we're trying to decrease the harm as much as we can. And working with local optometrists and everything is important.
I'm a fan, obviously. I have a couple pairs. I have one coming from my wife as well, too. And it's interesting because I went on Amazon, I typed in blue light blocking glasses, and 99% of them that showed up were clear or very, very, very light. So why could that be a problem for people who are looking to get into this?
Yeah, well, the clear lenses actually don't really do much. And that's, again, probably from people not really understanding spectral curves, which is the graph that shows you how the lenses are blocking light and what they're allowing in. So getting clear lenses, I don't know if you've seen those ads with the blue light pen showing that the clear lens blocks that light. You know, this pen emits at 410 nanometers. And 410 nanometers, what you need to know is that it's not found in screen lights and in LED lights. So our glasses block 60% of the peak of LEDs. So the peak of LEDs is 455 nanometers. And this is all tested with the tool that we use. It's called a spectrometer. So that tests the light frequency. So getting clear lenses, most people don't really see any results of that because they block light that is not found in their screens. And so, yeah, we really advise people to wear amber to yellow tinted lenses. They cannot be too tinted because then you'll get sleepy. So our lenses are perfectly tinted to allow just enough light.
Okay. Well, I think we covered a lot there. That was good for people listening. We went through the spectrums of light, some beach hacking stuff, children and light, a lot of cool things. So lots of great information. If people who are listening are interested in learning more about you and your company and your products, where can they go to find that out?
Yeah, so visit us at seizhealth.com, SIIZ health.com. On our homepage, we have an ebook. It's a free ebook to download right now. Just scroll down on the homepage, download it for free. You know, subscribe to our newsletter. We'll send a lot of informative blogs and different things to keep you in the loop. And yeah, if you want to check out our glasses, we even have a 90-day return policy because we're really confident that they will help you make a difference in your energy and in your sleep. So for non-prescription, of course, we have prescription as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're one of the few companies that will actually do prescription as well into the lenses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We can accommodate that for sure.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Rose, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun. You've become a great light advisor to me over the past couple months as we've talked, and I'm happy that we're able to share all this information with people listening. So again, you guys can go to seizhealth.com. That's a Z or a Z, I guess, if you live in Canada. And thanks again for listening, folks. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, and we'll talk soon. All right, folks, you made it to the end. I hope you enjoyed that one. That was a lot of fun and a lot of information. I know I picked up a few things. Hopefully, you've gained a little bit more awareness into how light works around you and better ways to control it so you can thrive and be optimized and function and lose weight and have more energy and sleep better. I mean, the list goes on and on. As always, if you want to learn more about me, you can visit my website at sleepbiohacker.com or my corresponding Instagram page, sleepbiohacker, where you can learn more about me and these fantastic blue light blocking glasses from the company Seize Health. I have a link on my website, or you can visit their website as well too for more information. Thanks again for listening, folks. I hope to see you all soon, and I hope you have the best night ever.
This broadcast is for informational purposes only. Statements and views expressed in this show are not medical advice. The show, including Dr. Jay Corsandi, the co-host, guest, and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of any information contained herein. Opinions of the guests are their own. We do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests, nor do we make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a licensed physician.